at a lot of the basic elements of prayer, fundamental elements of prayer. And as we've come into July, that's our focus as we're reading through these passages of the Old Testament, is knowing the Lord who hears our prayers. And so it's always good and beneficial to think about prayer and how important it is. And there's always ways in which we can improve, I think, the way, the manner in which, the frequency with which we pray to God. Any guesses on how many prayers there are recorded in the Bible outside of Psalms? So, you know, Psalms, there's a lot of prayers just within there. But outside of the book of Psalms, any guesses? No guesses. Not even a single. What? A dozen. It's more than a dozen.
35.
There's actually, and I haven't counted these, there's a book I was looking at this past few weeks called All the Prayers of the Bible. So you may have heard of books like All the Men of the Bible, All the Women of the Bible. There's one, actually, All the Prayers of the Bible. Reports that there's 650 prayers recorded in the Bible outside of the Psalms. So that's in addition to the Psalms. So you figure, you know, probably close to 1,000 by the time you get, you know, all the prayers. Yeah, so a little more than a dozen. Now here's a fun fact. Of those 650, how many do you think have the answers to the prayers actually recorded in the Scriptures as well? A dozen? Yeah. So actually, about 450 of those prayers have the prayer and the answer to that prayer recorded, which is, that was an interesting just fact to me. And I think that we really cannot exhaust the whole topic of prayer. When you really start looking through and adding up and looking at everything that God has said about prayer and that Jesus taught about prayer and the prayers themselves, we quickly realize it's critically important, and it's a very deep topic, and it's a very broad topic as well. So in our readings of the Old Testament so far, I think we've probably read through about 100 or so prayers, because, you know, we read through Job as well, and then just, you know, from Adam on through all the individuals we've read about. So I think probably about 100 prayers. So prayer is conversation. You know, I saw this topic coming up for months, and I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to approach this, and I can't really complain much about that, because I had a hand in organizing these topics and so forth. So there was probably some conversation a year or so ago, and I probably knew exactly what it was at that time, but I don't even know what I had for lunch today, so we'll make do. So the questions that I send out are a little different than the typical questions that I send out when I teach a class, and you probably noticed that. So the first question was, when we think about prayer as conversation, let's first think about conversation. And what is a conversation? And I'm not looking for a book, chapter, and verse kind of answer here. This is more kind of common sense, common experience, and observation. When we think about a conversation, what is a conversation? And it's not a trick question. I'm not smart enough to ask trick questions. Larry?
Interactive communication.
Interactive communication?
Interactive.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So you didn't hear Larry. It sounds like he's got a dictionary back there. Interactive communication between at least two, so greater than or equal to two people, right? Good. All right. Any other thoughts?
Two or more.
Two or more. So that's greater than or equal to two. Okay. All right. Oh, Michelle. Okay. Right. So there's talking, right, and listening. And I think when we look at those two together, there's an exchange, right, that's going on. There's an exchange of ideas. There's an exchange of thoughts that's happening when we when we're having a conversation. All right. So we think about that. Now, there's different types of conversations that we enter into. What, when you think about, you know, all the various, the whole variety of conversations that we enter into in our lives, what are some of those types of conversations that we have? And again, not looking for a book, chapter, and verse answer here. This is more thinking about conversation, and then we'll sort of pivot into prayer and how that kind of fits in with all of this, hopefully. Okay, so, right, so there's a conversation where we are expressing a need, okay, or an ask, right? What else? Okay, yeah, just simply informing. Okay. You know, updating, discuss, having a conversation about current events, that kind of thing.
Giving concern to a friend or colleague.
Giving concern. Okay. All right. Or sharing, right? Giving, sharing a concern. Or maybe even a complaint. Right? Okay. Well, that is important. I think we're going to talk a little bit about what are kind of some of the essential elements of a conversation, and I think that's one of the key elements of a conversation. But when we think about different types of conversations, maybe a conversation is trying to persuade, right, someone about something. What else? There's a whole bunch of... Sandra. Okay. Yeah, so there's simple, like, introductory. Okay. Conversations. There's deeper, maybe even what we could say is like a confession of something, right? Somebody said something over here somewhere. Okay, casual greetings, right? You can have a conversation thanking somebody, right? Are all conversations positive in nature? These are all kind of positive, you know, for the most part. Okay, so criticism. That could maybe fit in. Yeah, so there's criticism. Criticism, I think, spelled something like that. Gossip is a type of conversation, right? It's not a positive, productive kind of thing, but it's certainly a type of conversation, hopefully not one that any of us in here are having. Okay. Any other types of conversation? This is just kind of getting us thinking about what is a conversation and the different types of conversations that we have. So when we think about, so now this, we're kind of getting to Larry's point here. So when we think about having what we might say is a, hopefully no one was writing all that down because it's gone now, having a productive or a meaningful conversation, okay, or what we might say is a good conversation, what are some of the really the essential elements that you need to have in order to have a conversation with somebody? Okay, right. Common language. That's true. Okay. Otherwise, that's not going to be very productive. Or, what was that, Bernie?
Patience.
Okay. Maybe in some... patience. In some conversations more than others. Okay. Okay. So a medium. Okay. All right. A medium for the communication. Oh, Nathan. Okay, so you've got to be engaged. Okay. And interested. All right. Now, what about if we even step back? So when Larry read that nice definition from the dictionary, right, it was two or more people having this interactive communication. What about those two people? Okay. All right. So there needs to be an open mind. Yeah. Listening is key. Yeah. So there needs to be some level of relationship between the people who are having the conversation. Now, there's different levels of conversation and different levels of relationship, right? Some relationships are momentary, shallow, right? And so the conversation is momentary and shallow. It might be a person you see on the metro, although there's an art form to avoiding conversation on the metro, but maybe a cashier, right? Somebody, you don't really have much more than a momentary relation. There is a relationship there, and so the conversation tends to be very, you know, shallow. It's not really very meaningful. And then some conversations require more of a relationship, or maybe said better, some relationships yield themselves to deeper conversations, and then certain relationships are the most intimate relationships that we have, and those are the conversations where we really, you know, have the deepest conversations, where we really reveal more of ourselves, we expose more of ourselves in those conversations, and we have that real intimate communication. So I think that's a key aspect of any conversation. I think listening is also key to the conversation. I would add trust. How does trust enter into a conversation? Or does it? Okay, right. So there's an element of trust in feeling kind of safe to convey this information, right? And that kind of correlates with the depth of the relationship and so forth. Trust that what the other person is saying is truthful, that you can believe and you can understand and rely upon what the other person is saying. Maybe too obvious, but there has to be a subject matter for a conversation. You can't really have a conversation about nothing. There has to be some subject or topic of the conversation. We talked about listening. And I would add to this list also honesty or sincerity as being important elements to a conversation as well. Make sense? I think, you know, we probably know all of this stuff intuitively in the back of our minds, but when we start to think about conversation and prayer as a conversation, I think it's good to just kind of articulate some of this and bring it to the forefront of our mind. So, now we kind of pivot to prayer, and in what way, you know, we think about the types of conversations, what a conversation is, the essential elements of what a conversation is, then in what way is prayer a conversation? Like, how does all of this relate to prayer? Now, some might actually object to thinking about prayer as a conversation, and I can kind of understand that to some extent, right? If we're thinking about conversation as communication between equals, well, we're in no way an equal with God, right? So that's not what we're talking about. And we also have no basis to negotiate with God or anything of that nature. So when we talk about prayer as a conversation, it's not that we can kind of carve that piece of conversation out and kind of slide that off the table. That's really not what we're talking about when we're talking about a conversation with God. So now let's think about prayer as a conversation and some of the things we've talked about already that pertain to kind of conversations in a generic sense. All right, how is it then that prayer, we can look at that as a conversation? Okay. So there's certainly an expression of needs, right? Okay. What else? Jackson? Oh, I'll come back to you. Who said something over here? Okay, right. I think that's important, right? There is a relationship. So I passed out a bunch of cards with scriptures on them. Somebody read Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, whoever happens to have that one ready and available. Okay. So, you know, we recognize that as an account of Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And he indicates that you begin the prayer, and not that it's a formula to it necessarily, but how is that prayer to whom is that prayer addressed? To the Father, right? There's a relationship of a parent-child, father-child relationship that is fundamental to prayer. Yeah, this idea that it expresses our needs, and I would say it expresses and it acknowledges our need of God and our dependence upon God. So staying in the 11th chapter of Luke there where Jesus is teaching about prayer, somebody read verses 5 through 13, whoever might have that one. Okay, and then also, if someone could read Luke chapter 18, verses 2 through 8. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. So in those teachings of Jesus about prayer, a fundamental element of prayer is it expresses and it acknowledges our need of God and the fact that we come to God and we express those needs. We trust. Where does the trust come into play in prayer as a conversation? Yeah, right. We trust that he hears us, right? And not even just that he hears us, but what else?
Able to respond.
Okay, right. Yeah. Able to answer, and not even just able to, but that he will. That he will answer, right? Not that he will grant everything we ask, but when we come to God in prayer, we express these needs and our dependence upon him, and we can have that trust, knowing that God hears us and that he will answer our prayer. This idea of being engaged and interested, how does that relate to prayer? Ron? Oh, Jackson. Oh, that's right. I didn't come back to you. You had your hand up earlier. Right. And when we're engaged, interested in God's what?
Word.
Yeah, word. God's word or his will. Right? So when we're having a conversation in a generic sense, it's most productive and meaningful if we're actually interested in what the other person is interested in, right? When we pray to God, part of that communication is our interest in God's will. And we see that in many of these prayers that we read where the will of God is essential to either what is being prayed about or asked for. Wade. Right. Right. Exactly. So yeah, it's two way. It works both ways. Right, Nathan? So when we think about that as if it's that important to just our normal everyday routine conversations, it's just as important, if not more important, when we're expressing ourselves to God to be willing and able to listen then to his will, which is revealed to us in his word. And to go along with that, whoever has Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, could we have that read out? Right, so we talked about listening, and it really kind of goes along with being engaged in the other part of the party to the conversation. The listening that happens, how does that happen? How do we listen to God? Right, we read his word, right? God has spoken to us through his Son. So through what we have recorded for us in the scriptures that he himself did, that he himself spoke, that he spoke through his apostles, that is how we are listening to God. So when we think about prayer as a conversation and listening as a part of that and listening to God and listening to God's will, we have to be sure we understand and we're clear on that fact that listening to God, it doesn't necessarily happen right then when we're expressing ourselves to God. It really happens when we're in his word, meditating on his word, reading and understanding his will for us. Gene. Uh-huh. Right. Right. And I think that's an important point because, you know, you do from time to time hear people that will say things like, well, God spoke to me and, you know, spoke to me or put this on my heart to do this or to do that. And if what people mean by that is, you know, I was reading the word and this part of the word, it really convicted me and you know, caused me to do this or to not do this or to behave in this certain way, that all makes sense. But it's not this notion of some voice coming to us while we're, you know, in our prayer with God. Okay. There's another aspect of maybe it's kind of implicit in all of this with language and with the requests that we're making and so forth. I think that conversations are best and communication is best when it is specific. And so whoever has Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, could you read out that one for us? Yeah. So Jesus' teaching there is about not using meaningless repetition. I think that there is a danger sometimes that when we pray, we sometimes fall into sort of a habit, really, of using, you know, generic phrases, generic terminology, and so forth. And we, I think, generally know what we mean when we use these things, but I think that it really is important when we're praying to God and when we're acknowledging our need of Him and expressing our requests to Him and our needs, to really be specific. To, you know, if we're praying for someone who is sick, let's mention their name. If someone says, "Hey, my, you know, father or mother is ill," and you know, we see these requests come through member news all the time or in our public gatherings, I think it is helpful to be as specific as we can be about who we're praying for or what we're praying for. And there's, you know, nothing wrong with using generic terminology necessarily. I think sometimes we may do that as kind of a shorthand version of our prayers, but I think that it's a good practice and a good exercise for us to really be specific in our prayers about who and what we're praying for, what we're asking for. Susie? Right. And that is true. I mean, the scriptures bear that out, that certainly the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers when, you know, if and when we don't know maybe really what to pray for or how to say it. Like requests to be with someone or to be with me, I don't know, that to me that strikes me as a little bit vague. I think we can probably articulate that better, understand better maybe what it is we're asking for, and particularly when we're gathered together and we are praying collectively for a number of, you know, concerns and requests and so forth that we have. I just think that that makes the prayer that much more effective. And then we talked about being honest, being sincere, being genuine. Who has James chapter 1 and verse 6? Could someone, whoever has that, read that one out for us? Right, so the instruction there is to pray in faith. And I think that gets to the idea of sincerity and being genuine in our prayer, and certainly also the idea of trusting in who we're addressing, trusting in who we are praying to, trusting that that God does in fact hear us and will answer us. Okay, let's run through kind of a quick list of some essential elements of prayer. I think 1 Kings chapter 3, actually let's just skip 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. Now this gets to the prayer of Solomon when he was dedicating the temple. Who has that one? Can read that one. Go ahead, Andrew. Okay. So I think when we read these, there's a couple of prayers specifically of Solomon, both when he's talking to God about becoming king, and then when he's dedicating the temple as well. Here's Solomon, this great king, this extremely wise individual, and yet we just hear this attitude of humility that comes through in his prayer. So I think humility is a necessary element of prayer. We talked about trust. We talked about who it's addressed to, that it's addressed it to the Father. Someone read for us, whoever has it, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Who's got that reference? Andrew, go ahead. Okay. So, requests, obviously, and we've talked a lot about that tonight already, but that's an aspect or an element of prayer. Now, one thing we haven't really talked a whole lot about yet, let's see, Genesis chapter 20 and verse 17. Did I give that out to someone? I think I did. Larry, you got that? Or Becky? Okay, so in this example, Abraham is praying to God, and who's he praying for? Abimelech. And remember that account we read through earlier in the year is when Abimelech had taken Sarah under a misunderstanding that Abraham and Sarah were not married, and so God had punished Abimelech, and all of that got sorted out, and God prays to Abraham. Abraham prays to God on behalf of Abimelech. And so I think that's, we think about kind of some fundamental aspects or elements of prayer. We sometimes use the word or hear the word intercession. Right? And that's what's meant by that, is praying for others, praying on behalf of others. We have the example of Jesus himself in John, the 17th chapter there. He prays a lengthy prayer on behalf of those disciples that he was with right at that time and who he knew were going to be heading into the world and facing a lot of opposition. Whoever I handed out Job chapter 42, if you could read Job chapter 42, verses 7 through 10, please. Good. So, another example of where, in this case, it's Job praying to God on behalf of his three friends, who God was extremely displeased with at this point in the narrative. And so, Job does that, and God accepts the prayer of Job on behalf of, or as an intercession for, these friends, these so-called friends of his. Another aspect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Who did I hand that out to?
Pray without ceasing.
Okay, right. Pray without ceasing. And we read earlier, I think Michelle read for us, over in Luke chapter 18, verses 2 through 8, that parable of Jesus and the person who approaches the judge. So I think another aspect, an important aspect of prayer, is our frequency. Or our consistency, or consistency of prayer. So there is value in us, yes, to Susie's point, God knows what we need, and the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, but we are instructed to pray without ceasing. And we see, if you just look at the life just of Jesus, how important prayer was in his life, how frequently he prayed, how much time he spent in prayer. It would be interesting to know, kind of relative-wise, how much time he spent in prayer versus how much time he spent in teaching versus how much time he spent doing other, you know, acts of service. And prayer was just a significant aspect of his life. And that really is borne out in the Gospel of Luke. If you read through the Gospel of Luke, Luke really presents Jesus there as, of course, the Son of Man, but also really very much as a man of prayer. And that's just a great model and a lesson for us. It's just not enough to have a need and express it one time to God and then, you know, wait on the Lord. That waiting on the Lord, I don't get that sense that that's a very passive kind of sitting back, okay, I've prayed, now I'm just going to wait. In fact, I even wonder, this is getting off on a side topic here, but when we go to a restaurant, we're served by a waiter. And I often wonder if that idea of waiting on the Lord has more of that idea to it, more of an active serving the Lord, but also being, you know, available, ready, and able, and available to serve the Lord with whatever need we see that comes along in accordance with His will. So, frequency, consistency, constancy are important. Let's stick with Job for a moment. Job chapter 40 and verses 3 through 5. Who has that one? Okay. Okay, and then do you also have chapter 42, verses 1 through 6? How about reading those for us, too, then? So what kind of a prayer is that from Job? What's he really doing there? What was that? Lamenting. What's he lamenting? Okay. Or his sin. I think in one of them he says, I am vile. Right? So there's a confession that is, you know, important in our sin. And then we've talked a lot about requests, but what's Job requesting there? Essentially, I think he's asking for forgiveness, right? And we've got lots of examples of that in the Scriptures as well. So, when we think about all the things that we can pray for, these are some that kind of bubble up to the top of the list there, I think. All right. So we got about 10 minutes left. So when we think about our prayers and we think about all of this, you know, this is our communication with God, our conversation to Him. We're paying attention to His Word. We're listening to what His will is. We're interested and engaged in what His will is. Let's think from a kind of a practical standpoint now. How do we pray? Right? That was the question that the apostles, the disciples, asked for Jesus. They saw how important prayer was to Jesus. They saw Him praying. And they asked Him, well, how do we do this? How do we pray? So, given all the things that we've talked about, what are some... We think about our prayers, and if we were to sort of outline them, right? Not that we necessarily have to do that or need to. What are some of the things that we include? Clevin.
Well, I see this just sounds like a rebuttal for David, you know, like I said, acknowledgement of God's goodness and love for him, you know.
Yeah.
And over the way you see that he acknowledges God's love for him and for us. And he also talks about his love for God.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think that's acknowledgement of God is
right.
Part
I totally agree. I think that's even just a good way to start every prayer is maybe don't jump right into the requests right off the bat, but start off with praise, right? And praising God for who He is and praising Him for His very nature. The eighth psalm is one that comes to mind. That is a prayer, and much of it is really just centered on the nature of God. Mark? Of that might be confession, you know, right at that point in time. You know, confess that, you know, we're flawed and we have flaws and we have sinned, and then, you know, certainly asking for forgiveness certainly kind of goes hand in hand with that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. So, yeah. Thanksgiving, right? And when we think about Thanksgiving, and this could go on for hours, what are some of the things that we can or should express our gratitude to God for?
His word.
Oh, His word. Right. Everything. Right. Did I give the card out to somebody? There's three references in Colossians, chapter 1:12, chapter 2:7, and then chapter 3:15. Okay.
All three?
Yeah, all three, please.
All right. Chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Chapter 2, verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Okay. And actually down verse 7 too, or 17, it mentions also giving thanks there. That has just, it's struck me for a long time about this little letter to these Christians in the city of Colossae that Paul wrote to, and how 3 points in pretty close succession there in that letter, he really stresses the importance of gratitude and the importance of thankfulness. And so to Mark's point, I think, yeah, expressing thanksgiving is certainly an important element of our prayer. You know, who has Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3? Oh, Sharon.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing.
So all spiritual, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, Peter said He's blessed us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. So all of these are the things that we can include within our thanksgiving. We can be thankful for prayer itself, right? Just expressing to God, thank you that we can even approach you at this point and talk to you, knowing who you are and who we are, and thankful that He's even interested enough in us to listen to us, and that He gives us that opportunity, that we have that relationship with Him that allows for that. I mean, there's just the list of things to be thankful for really just goes on and on. But our time tonight does not. So, And also, physical blessings as well in this life. James chapter 1, verse 17. Would whoever has that one read that out for us? Okay, so, every good thing. So every good thing, certainly spiritually, everything good that we have in this life comes from God. And I think that's a way to understand a little bit, as much as we can, the providence of God. It's hard in the moment to really understand the providence of God. Certainly we know to pray to Him and with those requests. And we know that every good thing comes from Him. And so certainly expressing our gratitude and our thanks to Him for these things. And that's just a good study. Just go through and see all the things. Think about all of the things that we can be and should be thankful for. We have that song. In fact, we sing it on Sunday. Count your many blessings. Well, that's actually a pretty good exercise to do sometime. Okay, so praise, acknowledging who we are, offering our thanksgiving. And then, of course, we've talked about this, but requests. And just like Thanksgiving, there's just a whole bunch of things to be thankful for. There's a number of things that we need, right? What are some of the things that we need? James chapter 1 and verse 5. Who has that one? Can read that out for us. Okay, so wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. So spiritual enlightenment. Nick?
I don't know if you're using this idea or not, but something I was taught to remember the sequence of all these things is to use the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, as an acronym. A goes accolades, confession, thanksgiving, supplication.
Oh, okay.
Which is exactly what you just said.
Okay, yeah. And this isn't like a liturgical kind of ritual outline that we have to abide by, but it's a helpful way to kind of use as a tickler in our minds to remember the things that we should be praying for and communicating with God. So hopefully that's been helpful in thinking about our prayer life, and hopefully helpful in strengthening and improving and deepening that, and just continue to pray and continue to think about prayer and to study about prayer, because it's not to be minimized or under, and don't underestimate how important it is in our lives and in our walk with God. Good. Thank you.